hopefully this will just crank up.
I hear it starting now.
Yeah. It's supposed to be a self-starting presentation. Hey, there it is. Am I right? Looks like we're rolling here. This is a Hawaiian steel guitar. This is actually a Knutson Hawaiian steel guitar from my collection. I found it on Maui three years ago in a garage sale. It's actually a fairly rare instrument, but we're not going to be talking about this. With one exception, that is. In San Francisco in 1899, the first recording session using the Hawaiian steel guitar was made, we believe. We'll get into this in a little bit, but first a little prehistory for you. On January 20th, 1891, King David Kalakaua of the nation of Hawaii passed away in his bed at the Palace Hotel in San Francisco. We were fortunate there was an Edison cylinder recorder at his bedside by his request a few days prior to his death. The engineer was Louis Glass, a rep of Edison's who hoped to enlist the king to promote the new recording device. On January 16th, King Kalakaua recorded a short message to the Hawaiian people. And this is the speech, which is in Hawaiian. You'll have to forgive my pronunciation for all you Hawaiians out there. Aloha kaua, aloha kaua. He hoi ne no paha makau. Ma kia hope aku i Hawaii, i Honolulu. I ila ila hoi i hai aku ai oi. Ai ka lehu lehu. I kau mea elohi ai ianei. Wow. I surprised myself. This translates as greetings to you, greetings to you. We will very likely hereafter go to Hawaii, to Honolulu. There you will tell my people what you have heard me say here. That was all he recorded, unfortunately. The machine stayed at his bedside in hopes he would record more, but that was not to be. The cylinder still exists. It's archived at the Bishop Museum in Honolulu, but it's unplayable because of the age of the cylinder and awful storage facilities in Hawaii. We have a major mildew problem and it eats everything. Even when it could be played as recently as 20 years ago, the sound quality was so bad that the speech was virtually unrecognizable. Fortunately, we do have transcripts and translations, obviously, as nobody had the foresight to record it, so no audio copy exists. This can be considered the first truly Hawaiian recording. For an improbable earlier example, citation of which appears in a number of early histories, let's go back a little further and look at what I consider an apocryphal incident. On June 2nd, Henry Berger, was brought to Hawaii by King Kamehameha V from Germany on the steamer Mahongo to fulfill a four-year contract to conduct His Hawaiian Majesty's band. At the end of that time, he returned to Germany. 6 months later, they decided they wanted him back, and they brought him back to Hawaii, where he continued to work until his death in 1929 with the Royal Hawaiian Band. Kamehameha had been to Europe and had heard the music and become convinced that educating the Hawaiian people in the ways of Western music was to be desired. Berger went on in his lifetime to conduct the Royal Hawaiian Band, which was subsidized by the government of the nation of Hawaii and later the state, as it is today. He also arranged over 200 pre-existing Hawaiian songs and composed some 75 pieces of Hawaiian music, mostly for brass band and ensemble, and was a major force in the blossoming of Hawaiian musical culture. He led the Royal Hawaiian Band. That's Berger in the forefront with the great beard and mustaches. We have a musical example, which we should be able to start up right now. This would be the Royal Hawaiian Band doing Hilo March on Victor 25033, recorded in Honolulu in 1935. Pause it now, please. Okay, that's actually a very lovely Hawaiian steel guitar solo for those of you who are familiar with it. But it was also obviously arranged for brass band, and I think it's rather impressive. The Royal Hawaiian Band was touring on the mainland as early as 1883 for a 3-week visit to San Francisco, so Hawaiians were no strangers to the west coast of the U.S., certainly. In any case, a story that had them recording by the Edifone process, which means somebody probably grabbed a dictating machine, this one for instance. This is a Edison Class M. According to Alan Konigsberg, this would have been the machine that they'd used if anything had been recorded this early. There's no physical documentation of this, no paper, no cylinders, where the session may have occurred, whether on the U.S. West Coast or in Honolulu. None of this is known. But this supposed fact did appear in print in the Kanahele book, which you may or may not be familiar with, Hawaiian Music and Musicians. Edison didn't begin selling the Edifone until just after World War I, so it's impossible any Edifone cylinders pre-exist the Kalakaua speech. The first musical, first musical recording session was in the spring of 1899 for Peter Bacigalupi, who owned the Edison dealership in San Francisco. There's a shot of the fourth floor on Market Street of the Bacigalupi dealership. This has been documented in letters sent back to Hawaii by Hawaiian session musicians to their families. The musicians traveled to the West Coast under the aegis of William Ellis. That's William on the left and his brother, whose first name escapes me, on the right. And the musicians were Eli Paca, who is July Paca, the famed steel guitar player, Tom Hennessy, Tony Zablon, Tommy Silva, and David Malkakane. The recordings were taken in San Francisco, probably at the dealership located on Market Street in the heart of the city. Finding Bacigalupi cylinders is hard enough. Here's another shot of Bacigalupi business card. Finding Bacigalupi cylinders is hard enough. Finding Bacigalupi Hawaiian cylinders is next to impossible. I have this one in my collection. It's the only one I know of still in existence. It, like the Kalakaua cylinder, is unplayable and for the same reasons. The source I got it from was a collector who lived in San Francisco and emigrated to Paia on Maui, bringing his collection of disc cylinders, players, and other ephemera. Moved to Paia, and unfortunately the cylinder was badly stored, and the playing surface of the brown wax cylinder has been mildew-eaten to the point of unintelligibility. The cylinder was supposedly found in San Francisco and may survive the 06 earthquake and the fire in 01 of the on Market Street of Bacigalupi's facility. We also don't know what tunes were recorded at the sessions, how many cylinders were made. We don't know whether it was 5 or 200, or whether Bacigalupi ganged his machines to make more than one copy at a time, or whether they were all done as one-ups. We just don't know. I'm hoping I can get some more information from the Edison Historical Society on this. I'm hoping something will come up. We're kind of digging. I'd like to think that somewhere out there are other Hawaiian Bacigalupi cylinders, but none have surfaced. This is the Toots Paca dance troupe and July Paca playing steel guitar. Paca was a first generation steel guitarist, as were Joseph Kakuku, who is the inventor of the barbed style of playing, his cousin Sam K. Nainoa, there's Sam K. Nainoa, and the ever prolific and lovely Frank Ferreira. Frank Ferreira put out a lot of Hawaiian records. But he was a first generation steel player. Paca was the only guitarist to record this early as 1899, however. Everyone else had to wait until the Bird of Paradise opened January 8th, 1912 at Daly's Theater in New York. That kicked off the Hawaiian guitar and ukulele craze. The Hawaiian Quintet, including Joseph Kakuku, recorded much of the incidental music for the play for Victor beginning April 11th, 1913, and were in fact the pit band for the show. So 1912 was the beginning of the flowering of the Hawaiian steel guitar in Hawaiian music. Prior to the three commercial recording sessions that were done in 1905, possibly 1908 or 1911, they were all done using vocal solos, chorus ensemble vocals, straight Spanish guitars, and sometimes the hano or the koheoheo, which is this instrument, the Hawaiian nose flute, and the guitar. There may be some undiscovered brass band recordings as well, but most of it was ensemble work. It wasn't until April 1913 the Hawaiian steel guitar was first recorded. Could we have the second example, please? That's the instantly familiar Aloha Oi by the Hawaiian Quintet, as the label shows, recorded in New York City April 11th, 1913. Appropriately enough, the first Hawaiian steel guitar recording I've been able to locate is this one. Okay, we're going to back up once again, back to 1905 in the fabled Zonophone Victor recording sessions. There we are. 1904 was a banner year for Hawaiian music. The Royal Hawaiian Band was touring the West Coast. The St. Louis Exposition was in full swing, and to the best of my knowledge, a group of Hawaiian musicians made the first major recording sessions for Zonophone Records in New York City. Can we have the third example, please? This is W.S. Ellis and the Ellis Brothers Glee Club doing Tomi Tomi, Victor 15022. There are stories, apocryphal stories, I believe, one of which has been cited and published and republished until it has a mantle of truth about it, about the Zonophone Record Company sending a field unit with a portable recording setup, portable probably meaning about a ton of gear, to the Far East, Japan, China, and Korea, to record the indigenous music of the area, and then to return. This part is true and has been documented. There is a matrix number run that was specifically assigned to the project. Unfortunately, the Hawaiian material, some 53 sides, falls toward the end of this series. The Zonophone numbers of which appear in the runout area of the single-sided Victor 15,000 series discs. It thus appears that these titles were taken on the same field trip. My research indicates this is apparently not so. I found nothing in my searches of Hawaiian periodicals and newspapers from around 1901 to 1912 that shows this recording unit ever stopped in Hawaii. This would have been big news at the time, and it would certainly have been worthy of mention in the Honolulu Press. I can only conclude that this session was almost certainly recorded in New York, probably in 1905. Again, unfortunately, because Victor bought out Zonophone July of 1903, all paper ledgers and documentation for this series was either seemingly destroyed or lost. In 80 years of searching, there have been no traces of this documentation found. I've also never seen any of the tunes on the 10-inch Victor 15,000 series released on any equivalent Zonophone issue. So these would have to have been released solely on Victor after the buyout. The musicians that were recorded were traveling with the Royal Hawaiian Band. Here we have them again. The Ellis brothers. This is the Ellis, William Ellis's, one of his touring groups, and Madame Alapai, etc. To further support my theory, I discovered that Madame Alapai did not appear on the ill-fated road trip of 1906, the next year, but sent her understudy, Miss Leila Hua, who you see pictured here from newsprint. As the Hawaiian government, who was subsidizing the tour, would not pay for Madame Alapai's husband to travel with her, so she said, too bad, I'm staying at home. So she didn't go. After all, she was the diva, so she had this power. She does appear on these records, Madame Alapai does. The band made it as far as Memphis, went broke, and a bond had to be floated to return the musicians to Hawaii. All in all, a major scandal and big news in the papers. So it's most probable that 1905 was the year Victor 15,000s were recorded. It would only have been a matter of 3 days or so to travel to New York from the West Coast, spend a week in New York doing the recordings, recording sessions, and return. So it would have been possible to divert from their West Coast tour. I'm still looking for supporting evidence of all of this in New York and in Chicago and in St. Louis in the dailies there. Somehow, somewhere, this is going to show up. It just hasn't surfaced yet. So there is more to be done before a complete picture and a solid date develops. The next sessions were for the American Record Company, not the later ARC, of course. The series was released from around 1905 in March. They had a great four-color label, as you can see, of the American Indian smoking his pipe while listening to a disc player. What was in the pipe is still theoretical. No examples have shown up to support my theory on what was actually smoked. But with Music Hath Charms, you can guess for yourself. Can I have the next example? This is the Royal Hawaiian Troubadours, as you'll hear by the announcement.
Moani Te Ala by the Royal Hawaiian Troubadours, American Record.
Note the heavy Portuguese influence in the flute. Virtually nothing is known of this group aside from the names that appeared in the announcements at the head of each record. There's never been any thought, at least on my part, as to the titles having been recorded any place else but New York. These records were also sold with the same label design, but the words American Odeon replaced American Record Company on the masthead in Britain. Odeon sides were listed as double-sided discs in the British Blue Odeon catalog of April 06, and the couplings varied. All US ARC sides are single-sided, but all Odeon Record Company titles at this time could be ordered as double-sided records if you ordered 25 or more records from the company. I've never seen one of the Odeon discs, and I couldn't even find a label copy. So anybody out there that might have a way of getting me one, I'd appreciate talking to you. And that leads us to the final recording session of this discussion, which would have been the Columbia session for material appearing in the Columbia Y series. Which, just like the earlier Victor records, states clearly on the label, made in Hawaii. My conversations with other discographers, archivists, and collectors, as well as a number of other Hawaiian music specialists, have led me to believe this series was also recorded in New York. Can I have the next example, please? Amazing sound quality for this recording. Okay, these Y series recordings centered around another well-known troupe, the Kai Glee Club, and Ernest Kai, their leader. Please realize that in vaudeville in the late 1800s and in the early 1900s, the Hawaiians had their hand in it certainly as well, and traveled the mainland extensively. Troupes and individual musicians have been documented as having appeared as far away as the Philippines as well. Let me see, there we are, that's Mr. Kai. Individuals carried, and small troops, larger troops, the Royal Hawaiian Band, which carried upwards of 40 people, and many less known groups of Hawaiian musicians were also active in the entertainment business and as a showcase for the nation and later for the territory of Hawaii. As well as saying made in Hawaii on the labels, at least six issues have the Brazilian patent numbers. I just think this is one of them. Yes, it is. We don't know why, they were on the labels, and we don't think they were pressed in Brazil, but it's possible they were. Some of the records in this series were slated for release in South America. And let's have the last example and bring it underneath so I can talk over it, please. So, were there any recording sessions in Hawaii prior to 1912? No, we don't think so. I don't think so. Not that I've been able to find. Even King Kalakaua had the questionable grace to pass away in San Francisco. When was the first major field recording done in Hawaii? There's the one I wanted to show. There's a lovely picture of Honolulu Harbor. Where is it? There it is. I would say spring of 1928, when Brunswick sent a unit to Honolulu and recorded some 50 sides, which were released on the Brunswick 55,000 series under the aegis of Johnny Noble's Hawaiians. The original issues of these were purple label Brunswicks, and they had the actual artist's name on it. They pulled those, or they stopped a manufacturer of them, to release the more commonly produced black label 55,000 series, which has Johnny Noble's name prominently above any of the musicians that were recorded. Shameless self-promotion at best. Let me see, what else have we got here? Then there was the Columbia OK sessions of May and June of the same year, which were in 1928. This is taken from the Honolulu Press article on the Columbia OK sessions. And there is one of the records. So in conclusion, I don't believe there were any commercial recording sessions taken in Honolulu or in the Hawaiian Islands until 28, and that all commercially released Hawaiian recordings prior to that were actually made in New York City. Thank you very much. How do we adjust? Thank you, Sam.
Thank you very much. By the way, I saw that double-faced Odeon record. It's on your right sleeve.
Oh.
I was fascinated by that field recording by Louis Glass you talked about. That would be the man who sort of invented the jukebox. I wonder if it ended up in his jukebox. You also talked about talking to the Edison site people, and it's wonderful that you're here in Santa Barbara, and you can talk to Jerry Fabris about Baka Kalupe. But before you do, Jerry is going to come here and give us a presentation on Edison's early